As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we are brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Theft Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen every 16 minutes in the state of Maryland? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car, take your key, use an anti-theft device. Learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. If you want to watch us on YouTube, it is a nice time to do it because we are about to pull up the War Room and dive into Mock Draft 2.0. Anthony, are you ready, and what housekeeping should we do on the front end of this?
I am ready.
Okay, Anthony is ready. He's even put on headphones. Wow, what a gem. Anthony will have the first pick, which means he'll also have the 29th pick. We can trade. All trades must be approved by both parties, although we're not going to be too fickle about it because ultimately we're worried about the first round. So we can make the deals work later, if you will. But I think it's worth pointing out, Anthony, that the trading up in this draft, I don't think is going to happen a ton because there's not a ton of high-end players. That said, I do think there is an alternate theory on that same set of facts where teams are going to disagree so much on who they think is good and not that there's going to be a team or two that thinks a guy is falling based off their board, but that player is just way lower on everybody else's, and maybe they're like, oh my god, well, another team can't every team can't possibly think oh my god, we have to go get our guy, basically. That because there's going to be some disconnect, there's going to be a team that is like, we got to get up there. Our guy's falling, and he's not going to be there much longer. And another team's going to be like, yeah, we'll trade out. Like, that's fine with us. We don't care. We got 78 guys that we're ready to take here. So I do think that is going to be interesting and becomes a lot harder because we're just two dudes doing this. So it's not like we can have vastly different rankings. Although we'll try to take into account team needs, things like that. We'll try to be a little exciting, try to be a little spicy. And maybe if a quarterback or something falls towards the end of the first round here, then we get some action. But I just because trades are allowed, unless Anthony's planning on going crazy, I don't actually know if there'll be a lot of them.
All I'm going to tell you, Craig, is Shedeur Sanders will not be falling far. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
He might go as high as 3.
Well, I guess we're going to find out. All right, here we go. We're in the war room. We're using PFF's mock draft simulator just because I like the layout of it. We don't really care as much about the rankings and all that kind of stuff. I just hope we don't forget anybody. All right, start draft. Anthony, you have the number one overall pick. Are you going to go ahead and throw us for a loop off the top, or are you just going to do the thing that's actually going to happen?
I'm going to throw us for a loop, Craig. I'm going to take my time walking to the podium. But guess what, Craig? We will be drafting quarterback Cam Ward out of Miami, baby.
Okay. You're not throwing us for a loop. You just took longer than you needed to.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Do I want to throw us for a loop?
Uh-oh. Let's go, Craig.
There's, I mean, to me, there's there's three real options, right? One is you go quarterback, but I don't think the Browns are in on Shador.
No.
Two, you go Hunter. Three, you go Carter. Last time, I think you went Travis Hunter here, or no, you went Abdul Carter here.
I went Abdul Carter.
And you go with the double edge, if you will. I think that definitely is a likely outcome, but I think I'm gonna go like they have the bigger need at corner. They could also use help at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Hunter solves two problems in some capacity for you in one. I'm gonna go Travis Hunter for Cleveland.
Ooh, you going Travis? Okay. The Giants are on the clock. We're shopping Kayvon Thibodeau. So that can only mean one thing. If this guy's available, we're going with Abdul Carter out of Penn State, baby. Come on.
All right. So you got Abdul Carter. They still have a bunch of high drafted edges and, or, you know, Brian Burns, they paid. But I think that's definitely a possibility for them. He's probably the best player on the board. At that point, certainly with Hunter off of it, that's the correct pick. All right. That leaves me at number four for New England. Everyone is mocking a tackle to them. Who am I to disagree? The question is, which one? I still think Membu might be the guy here.
Really?
He's got a higher upside, and there's a better chance he pans out at tackle than Will Campbell.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm gonna go Membu. Although Campbell's a safer. You know what? We went Membu last time. Will Campbell.
No, we went Campbell last time.
Oh, well, we're going with Campbell again then.
Okay. All right.
I already hit the button. Otherwise, I'd go back.
Nah, that's cool. I'm over here keeping track too.
Okay.
The Jags. The thing is, we could trade back. But in order to do that, Craig, you need a dancing partner.
You do.
Are you willing to trade up?
Depends on with who. Mm. And who like what player am I dying to get if I'm another team?
I mean, you could be a team like the Cowboys who could want an Ashton Jeanty.
I mean, if I get to be Jerry and just do something dumb, then sure, that could be fun. I'll tell you a team that's interesting.
Who?
If let's say they love Membu and the Patriots go, this is one of your teams, so now I'm infringing upon your land here. But let's say they love Membu. They're not going to get him at 11.
No.
But they have 11 picks. The San Francisco 49ers coming up and taking an offensive lineman of their choice doesn't seem like an unreasonable proposition.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Interesting. I don't think anyone is going to jump up here for the Jacks. I'm going to pick for the Jacks right now. We're going to go defensive lineman Mason Graham. He's been mocked to them all over the place. I think it makes the most sense.
All right. Ashton Jeanty makes so much sense for the Raiders that I think I'm just going to do it. There are other guys that I think are interesting here. Obviously, they could go wide receiver. They could go Tat McMillan, depending on how much you like him. I mean, Trevor Sikkema's got him as three, or this PFF board has him at three. So they love him. There's other guys, certainly, if they wanted to go at a different position. There's some of the D linemen that are very well liked, depending on your flavor there. You can always have O-line help. Could they go Will Johnson at corner? Johnson not running at his pro day, I think, is going to push him down the board a little bit. But I think I'm just going to go Jeanty. And this is a very chalky draft so far, but sometimes the chalky mocks are the ones that are actually right.
Okay. Ashton Jeanty. Okay, I got a proposed trade now. 49ers trading up with the Jets. Jets are going to trade back to 11. 49ers are going to trade up and take Membu.
Okay.
I think you put him at guard, though, to start out before moving him out to tackle.
I think he's going to play tackle.
All the way?
Yeah, I think he's big enough, long enough. So we're talking about 7 for 11. And then the Niners are also going to have to give up 75. Maybe they get like something else back. Yeah, let's just go 11-75 for seven. Done. Draft a player we would like. Armand Membu. Well done. Okay, Carolina Panthers on the clock at 8. They could definitely go Tet McMillan and take the receiver with size. I feel like they have been, Jalen Walker's been the popular guy here to get drafted by them. I'm going to throw a wrench in this thing. I'm going to go Tet McMillan. I'm going to go the wide receiver out of Arizona.
For the Panthers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get Bryce Young a big old target. There's people that really, really like McMillan. And this is the hard thing, is like trying to figure out who the elite players are in this draft is impossible. There are dudes, Zadé Barron might go top 10. He might go in the 40s. I have no idea what to do with him. I have no idea what to do with Tet McMillan. Is he the 8th pick or is he the 25th pick? Like, it could go either way. Malachi Starks. Some people think he's the next Brian Branch or the next Kyle Hamilton, in which case those two dudes who were way underdrafted, he should be in the top 10. He might go in the second round. I don't know. So let's go. Actually, you want to know what? I am going to go a pass catcher, but I'm going to go someone different. I'm going to go Tyler Warren for Carolina. I'm going way off the board.
Oh.
Who's their starting tight end right now? Who am I forgetting? They took JT Sanders last year.
Like, it's a
big old number zero.
The Panthers have Brooks, I think.
Right.
Tight end.
Something Brooks. Tyler Warren. Let's have some fun.
Oh, my. Yeah, that caught me all the way off guard. All right.
He's big. He's physical. They want to run the football. They need a pass-catching threat who can, you know, make things easy for Bryce Young. Let's do that.
All right, that's a bet. Craig, when I told you Shador Sanders wasn't going to fall far, this is why. He lands with the Saints. I think the Saints take him if he gets all the way to them. Derek Carr, you know, might not be ready for the season, things of that nature. I think this
may not be ready to ever play for them again.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that severe.
Whoa, they're going to – this has got to be the last year they're eating that contract.
Yeah. So I think this is their replacement for Derek Carr.
All right, Shador Sanders off the board at 9, which means at 10, the Bears have their pick of D linemen. They also could – I mean, they want Ashton Jeanty to fall. You want to know what? Let's really have some fun.
Uh-oh.
What if we see two running backs go in the top 10?
We're not seeing that, Craig.
We could. There are people who think Omarion Hampton is not that different from Ashton Jeanty. And the Bears, they've invested a lot in their O-line. They've invested a fair amount in their D-line. They just re-signed Kyler Gordon. Like, they've got some good players in the back end. And a running back would make their lives a lot easier. My guy Jeremy Green actually has Hampton over Jeanty.
Oh, wow.
He thinks they're that close, and you know what Hampton did and is more of a complete player, three down type of back. I'm going to go on Marion Hampton. I said chalky is fun, or chalky might be correct, but let's have some fun. We're getting wild. It's Mock Draft 2.0. Anthony's up with the 11th pick next on the Team 980. Anthony, I know our quest is a go-go, but it's April. What are you doing?
My bad, man. This is one of my favorite go-go songs. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, NFL draft is Christmas for a lot of people, so I guess it kind of works. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're in the middle of Mock Draft 2.0. We take the full hour here to grade select pick by pick the 2025 NFL draft. I've got the even picks this year. Anthony has the odds. We had a trade between the Niners at 11, the Jets at 7. Anthony, you are on the clock at 11 for the New York Jets.
Oh, yeah. I'm running to the podium right now. Zadé Barron, baby. He's gonna be Aaron Glenn's new Brian Branch.
Brian Branch. That's good pick.
I love the pick for him.
Where's my pencil in honor of Lee Corso? All right. Dallas, I have a couple of options here. One, I can take an offensive lineman who I think is going to play guard. Two, I could take Tet McMillan. Mm. I think both of these are actually good options. I think Dallas isn't one of these teams that actually is going to wind up with a good choice. Now, Tet could be off the board. What happens if we have a wide receiver slide? We're going to find out. I'm going to go Gray Zabel, the offensive lineman out of North Dakota State, who some folks think is the best guard in this draft by a lot. Now, it is tempting on some level to go Kelvin Banks, who is a tackle that a lot of people think is going to wind up kicking inside the guard, but I'm going to go with the guy that I know is a guard and I'm pretty sure is a really good guard, and who, by the way, might be able to play tackle for me in a pinch and could also play center. I'm going with Gray Zabel.
I love the pick, Craig. I'm not going to lie. It's a little shocking, though, considering...
I feel like sometimes Jerry does get back to his roots and go, oh, we gotta get us some linemen. We gotta win in the trenches.
Yeah. So last week, the Dolphins, at their pick, I think we took a lineman. Yeah, we took Kelvin Banks last week.
He's available again if you want him.
He is available, but guess what? Off the Jalen Ramsey news.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Mr. Craig Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Dolphins will be drafting cornerback Will Johnson out of Michigan.
That is definitely interesting. Johnson's a guy who could go in the top 10. He might wind up sliding. Do I think he's going to be on the board for Washington? No. Is it impossible? I'm going to tell you also no. He could be a guy that slides because there's injury concerns there depending on how teams feel. All right. On the clock for the Colts at 14. Anthony, I kind of want to try. I'm like, how do I trade this pick to you?
Let me see who would want to move up.
Was there somebody that's dying for a wide receiver?
Maybe the Cardinals.
Because now
17. The Cardinals are 16.
The Cardinals, the Cardinals are 16. Two, they took a first round wide receiver last year. I don't like 18 is actually interesting. They've got JSN in Seattle. What happens if they can get another outside guy? Because Tet McMillan is likely the best guy on the board. I think we're also about to hit an edge rusher run here, potentially, looking at the teams available. I could just start that. I could go Colson Loveland, which is probably, honestly, what I would do if I'm the Colts.
Yeah, I don't think the Bengals are going to draft up or want to move up. The Bucks. Steelers.
Let's really make some people mad.
Yeah, I think that's more so your lane over there, Craig.
The Colts traditionally like the slightly undersized, very fast off the edge pass rusher. Obviously Dwight Freeney, go Cuse, the all-timer here. And people are all over the place on this player. He is the most requested commander because of where people think he is. But I want to give Commanders fans a reality check. I don't think Donovan Ezeraku is going to be available at 29. And I kind of, somewhere in my head today, was like, I'm going to make sure that he's not available at 29. Now, did I imagine doing it at 14? No. You know, the Packers at 23, where his former head coach is currently the defensive coordinator, that seems like a very likely spot that he could go. But I could go Jalen Walker here. I could go Mykel Williams here. I could go Mike Green here. But let's go Donovan Ezeraku here.
Oh, my God. First edge off. No, is he the first? He's the first.
Second, Abdul Carter.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's the thing. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Mm.
All of these guys in that next group could go in any order. You could tell me Walker, Williams, Green, Ezeraku, Shamar Stewart. Like, those five guys could go in any order. And I might even be missing one. Is this the order that's most likely based off the media mocks? No. But like last year, you know, I know they took Latu last year, but think about it. What was Latu's deal? He was the most polished, best production guy amongst the group of edge players. Who's that guy this year? Probably Ezeraku.
I'm not going to lie, Craig. That bothers me a little bit. But you were right. There's about to be a run on edge rushers because the Falcons are following up. And we're going to draft. I'm torn between Jalon Walker and Mykel Williams, to be honest.
Pick your flavor of Georgia edge rusher.
We're going to go Jalon Walker. for the Falcons at 15.
Jalen Walker off the board at 15 for the Falcons. All right. The Cardinals on the clock at 16.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple different ways we could go here. Man, they really don't like Harmon at PFF. That's wild because I was considering him here. They could go D-line. They could go Nolan. They could go Grant. They could go Derek Harmon. They could also go with one of the corners. Although I don't know. This feels rich for any of them. And then you're looking at, do you go someone like a Kelvin Banks and kind of do what I was talking about earlier, where you get tackle guard flexibility, a.k.a. if he fails at tackle, we move him inside to guard. I'm gonna keep doing stuff that doesn't feel like it's around some of the other mocks, but if you listen to a bunch of the people doing those mocks, they like these guys a lot. Walter Nolan, there's some character stuff there where there's a lot of people that are not very high on him. Trevor Sikkema at PFF loves him. Thinks he's one of the top 10 players in the draft. Let's party. Walter Nolan. We're going. I'm messing stuff up today, Anthony. I thought you were going to be the one that just goes crazy in this draft. I'm messing stuff up today.
You said Walter Nolan?
Walter Nolan, defensive lineman, Ole Miss.
Good gracious. Yeah. Let me type that in.
Okay.
So who's up? The Bengals.
You're up with the Bengals.
Okay, the Bengals. We're going to go. To be honest, I think we're going to stay at edge, Craig.
Okay.
And it's going to be another Georgia boy.
You're going Michael Williams.
Michael Williams to the Bengals.
So I probably would have done something different here, but.
Would you have gone guard?
I would have potentially gone. No, I would have gone Kelvin Banks, I think. Because they've been looking for tackles and guards and all kinds of offensive linemen, and you get a guy that you can try at tackle and then bump inside. But you're going, what am I doing? Edge? Michael Williams. There you go. All right. Which leads us to the Seattle Seahawks, who could also use an edge. And I'm going to just say I'm ignoring something that is going to pull this guy off a lot of teams' boards. Mike Green has two accusations of sexual assault in two different cities by two different women. Very similar stories. And that is obviously a very, very serious situation. And it is far more important, far beyond football. As a player on tape, he belongs in this range. And he fits, I think, very much with kind of what Seattle has had over the years in terms of the style of player he is. So we are going to say, for the purposes of this exercise, the Seattle Seahawks investigated and feel comfortable with whatever happened with Mike Green, that they are going to be able to have him on their roster and there's nothing else that happened or that's going to come of that. And they are, whatever conscience is clear, Mike Green, I thought that was enough preamble, and I'm going to put Mike Green on the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
And that is, I will also say this, that is a team that has taken risks on guys in the past with checkered off the field stuff. So ownership it's still the Allen family, although there's kind of not really a hands-on owner there. That feels more like something they would be willing to do than, say, the Philadelphia Eagles on a player like Mike Green. So yeah. Whatever that's worth. All right, let's quickly knock out the next two. Tampa's on the clock at 19, and then we'll do Denver at 20, and then we'll take a break.
All right, Tampa's on the clock. We're going to go linebacker Jahad Campbell. I need to explore a trade-up option next time. Because if Jalon is available at 15 again, I mean, between those two, to be honest, like, you really can't go wrong.
Well, you're playing different positions, though. Maybe not. I mean, Campbell might wind up playing some off-ball linebacker or might wind up playing edge, but they need both, so I like that player for them. And then I think Denver's doing backflips here. Like, they're a little pissed when Omarion Hampton comes off the board at 10. But if that all of a sudden means Tet McMillan falls to them at 20, that feels very much like they'd want. My only question would be, do they want Colson Loveland instead? Probably not. I'm going to go Tet McMillan, which leaves you on the board or on the clock with the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21. We will pick up where we left off there next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980, where you can see our board and follow along with the visuals of it all as we go through Mock Draft 2.0 here on the show. All right, Anthony, you are up. The Pittsburgh Steelers on the clock at 21 here. In this segment, our goal is to get to the cusp of the Commanders pick. So get us started. You are on the clock at 21.
Let's get it, man. We're going safety. Malachi Starks out of Georgia. I think Mike Tomlin and the defense will be doing cartwheels getting this guy.
Yeah. He's just a good football player, so of course he's going to wind up there. All right. The Los Angeles Chargers are on the clock. And I'm just going to, I think, go with the thing that I hope selfishly doesn't happen, but I think is very likely to happen, which is a Michigan reunion, Colston Loveland. I say I don't want that to happen because that's an option I want on the board for Washington at 29. But he's not going to be there because he's going to go sooner because he's really freaking good, Colston Loveland, to the Los Angeles Chargers. 23, Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers on the clock. I think we're going to go with Derek Harmon, defensive tackle.
Ooh.
Out of Oregon, Mr. Craig Hoffman.
Interesting.
Yes, sir.
Interesting. Harmon's a player that's got a lot of split in terms of what people think of him. Trevor's got him at 42 on the PFF board. I also have the beast up, so hold on one second, and I will get you exactly where he is. He is Dane Brugler's second edge. And overall, I believe he has him as a top 15 player. 16 overall. So by Dane's list, good value. By Trevor's list, bad value. But Derek Harmon, he's a duck. Now he's a Packer. All right, 24. The Minnesota Vikings. The team needs running back, defensive back. Defensive lineman, so they might be a little peeved at that pick because Harmon certainly would have been on the board for me there. Let me look at the DBs here. Amanda Worry is definitely an interesting thought option here. The safety out of South Carolina could go corner here too. Someone like a Trey Amos. They also could go edge and throw a wrench in things. I think that for them, I'm going to go a man of worry. I think the bet on his traits and his intelligence, what his teammates say about him, and a year to learn under Harrison Smith, that's a guy with some star potential because of the athlete that he is. I'm going to go a man of worry for the Vikings, and they're gonna take a big swing there. 25, you're on the clock for the Houston Texans.
We already know. The Texans are sprinting to the podium right now because this guy should not be on. He should not be available still. We're going Kelvin Banks, offensive tackle, out of Texas.
So I think that's very possible. I also think that Josh Simmons is a potential pick here. The tackle out of Ohio State. It's going to depend on the medical, but okay, Banks, fine, got it. The LA Rams. Now, I was going to have to decide if things get really crazy in this draft, which has kind of been what I've been doing. They have another year of Stafford. This feels like they should do something to help Matthew Stafford. I could also make the argument that they should take Jackson Dart here if they like Dart. A lot of people like Dart for the Rams. Like, if they could pick a team to put Dart on to say he's going to succeed, it would be the Rams. The question is that something the Rams actually want to do? The other wild card here is just encompassing, you know, we talked a lot about Dane. We've talked a lot about my guy, Jeremy Green. We talked a lot about obviously what Trevor's got as we're using the PFF simulator. I saw an Instagram video, Andrew Siciliano, who lives out there in LA and gets to go for walks on the beach. Must be nice. Did a little walk and talk on Instagram the other day, and he thinks that there's going to be three tight ends that go in the first round. He thinks the last one is going to be Mason Taylor, who is Jason Taylor's kid, who is out of LSU. Do you know what Andrew Siciliano's job in the preseason is, Anthony?
Doesn't he call Browns preseason games?
Or it used to be, I should say. He calls Browns games on the radio full-time now during the season. But he used to be the television play-by-play voice in the preseason for the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, wow.
Let's have some fun. Mason Taylor, tight end, LSU.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, you're on the board at 27.
I am in
Baltimore Ravens.
And we are looking at edge rushers.
Okay.
And I think this guy, James Pierce Jr., is very intriguing for the Ravens at 27. They're going to take him at 27.
So I will tell you, if you are interested in learning more about James Pierce Jr., you do not want to miss 6:15 today, the conversation that Jeremy and Green and I had about him on Take Command. Or if you are going to have to miss 6:15 today, good thing for you, Take Command is actually a podcast that we share some of it here on the radio. Jeremy lives in Asheville, North Carolina, 50 miles from Knoxville, Tennessee. He is very well connected at the University of Tennessee. Every single person in the draft world seems to have the same information on Pierce, that there's real character red flags there in terms of his competitiveness. But that Tennessee program we know is a mess. Maybe if he goes to a place like Baltimore or, frankly, Washington or Philly, it could work out. So I actually, after talking to Jeremy this morning, hate this pick less than I would have if we did this yesterday. All right, the Detroit Lions, and then I'm going to give you a commercial break, Anthony, to think about the Commanders pick. At 28, the Detroit Lions can go a couple of different ways. The way this board has fallen, I think I'm going to do something a little slightly goofy here. The Lions offensive line has been the center of what they want to do. Like, PFF has their needs listed as guard, but the offensive line has been the center of how they've built things over the past couple years. And they are starting to get to the point that they need reinforcements, that some of their players are older. One of those players is Taylor Decker, their left tackle. They obviously have the best right tackle, who might be the best offensive lineman, if not one of the five best players in football, in Penei Sewell. He's that good. Josh Simmons might need a year because of the injury. With Taylor Decker, they have a year. Josh Simmons, tackle, Ohio State, 28 to the Lions.
Mm.
Which leaves a very interesting group of players for Anthony to pick from. You got a couple of edges. You got a couple of receivers. You have a defensive lineman and Kenneth Grant that fell, that was kind of unexpected. Anthony, you got some time to think. We come back with Anthony's pick for the Commanders in Mock Draft 2.0 next here on the Team 980. All right, we're in the final home stretch here of Mock Draft 2.0, Hoffman Show edition. Mock Draft 3.0 from Take Command is what we embarked on with our guy Jeremy Green today. But in order to hear that, you're going to have to listen to the full podcast. But if you want some thoughts in terms of kind of what we were thinking about going into it and a very interesting conversation on James Pierce Jr., we're going to play that for you coming up starting at 6:15. We are brought to you by the XFL and the DC Defenders. Spring football is in full bloom. The DC Defenders take on the Memphis Showboats in the Blossom Bowl at Audi Field this Saturday, April 5th. It says that is not a read that is up to date, Anthony. I'm reading what's in front of me. Kevin Harlan on that one. Remember when he said that CarMax had chicken nuggets?
Yeah, but he also was like, "What?" He was very animated because he couldn't believe what he was actually reading.
Look, the Blossom Bowl has happened because it's April 17th. But the DC Defenders are playing football, and you can get tickets at ufldefenders.com/tickets. And you can find out what actual games are coming up. And I hope everybody enjoyed the Blossom Bowl. Defenders, I hope you got your money's worth. All right. That is that. Let's get back to the NFL. Anthony, you are on the clock at 29 for the Washington Commanders. Before you make your pick, I would just like to say, in some ways, there is an ideal thing that has happened for the Commanders, and that is that Jackson Dart is still available. So when I say that, Anthony, that look on your face, not because I expect you to take him, obviously, but the Giants, the Browns, perhaps some other teams that passed on a quarterback in round one, maybe they give you a buzz and say, hey, we want to come up and take that fifth-year option, and we want to get a guy here. So the trade phone could be ringing here. But the problem is, Anthony, for you, I'm cutting off the trade phone. Unless you're going to go down one spot to Buffalo or something like that. And I control Buffalo's pick, and I'm not doing that.
No.
Because otherwise, we're going to have done an entire hour of radio and lots of drafting and then not make a pick for Washington, and that'd be silly. Unless we're going to try to expand this thing early into the second round. So that is, if you want to try to make a trade for Cleveland or New York, I guess we could do that. But realistically, you're probably looking at a stick and pick here.
Yeah. And we talked about this guy as well. So I've had time during the break.
Yep.
You know, decide
what
on
position
my pick.
Are you considering?
Edge.
You're looking at oh.
And he's still on the board, surprisingly. The production hasn't been there in college,
to say the least.
And, you know, I mean, he has had the pressures, though, the last couple of years. He needs to work on finishing. But I'm taking Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M.
So Stewart is one of the most divisive players in this draft. And unfortunately for him, I mean, he's never going to know this about me. He might shape the way I think about edge players for years to come. I was listening to Trevor Sikkema this morning on a podcast, and he said that, like, he's over the traits guys. That when he drafted, you know, he was a big 2 years ago, I think it was, Tyree Wilson guy. He's like, I love this kid. Like, forget the lack of production. And he named a couple more, and he's just like, eventually I got to the point that I was tired of being wrong about these guys every year. Now, Shamar Stewart on Daniel Jeremiah's top 50, the 27th best player. Trevor Sikkema, who I just mentioned, has him behind his teammate Nick Skorton. He's got him 33rd, Skorton's 31st. You know who's not out on him? Dane Brugler. Dane Brugler has Shamar Stewart not only as one of his top five edges, he's got him as one of his top 10 players. He's his third edge behind Abdul Carter and Jalen Walker, who's also a bit of a traits guy. And he has him as his number 9 overall player. Shamar Stewart, again, 6'5", 267. Came in 6'4.7. 6'4 and 7/8. So basically 6'5", 270 at his pro day. Dude ran a 4.59 at the combine with a 1.58 10-yard split. 10-11 broad jump, 40-inch front. He is explosive as hell. He's big as hell. And in terms of production, he led Texas A&M in pressures in 2024 with 39 of them. So there is some production, but he is not a good finisher, and he has never had more than a sack and a half in a season. This is a huge swing on your coaching staff if you take Shamar Stewart. Now, at 29, I think that swing is worth it. If I'm picking in the top 15, I am scared to death of this kid. But at 29, where you're not going to get a prospect with more upside, it's just impossible to get a guy that could potentially be as good as him, because athletically they don't make dudes like this. And you've got Dan Quinn as a guy who's developed pass rushers in the past. I'm perfectly fine with this pick for Washington. I would hate it for a lot of other teams. Shamar Stewart, welcome to Washington. You are pick 29.
Yes, sir.
Which then leaves me on the clock at 30. I think I'm going to go corner for the Bills. Luckily for them, there haven't been a ton of guys taken so far. And I'm going to take, just to shout him out, because I think he's like a very, very intriguing guy whose story is incredible. Siobhan Revelle, out of East Carolina. You guys might have heard Dane Brugler tell his story on our show or on one of the others that Dane has done. Dude was working in an Amazon warehouse, graveyard shift, and then got a chance to work out at a camp for ECU. Ran his 40, blazed it. Coach was like, son, you come talk to me. We got to get you on scholarship. Went and played, was in Dane's top 15 going into the year, had a torn ACL, and that cost him most of his season. But Ravel, in terms of his upside, big time potential. Actually, one of the few guys that I could say, you know, we're saying there's not a lot of dudes like Shamar Stewart athletically. Ravel, same thing athletically because of the speed, super upside. But you got to wonder with the ACL. But I think that's worth it for Buffalo at 30.
That boy's 6'2", too, man.
Yeah, he's big. He's long. Like, there's a lot there.
For the Chiefs, on the clock, we know they need offensive line help.
They do.
We're going to tackle here. We're going to go Josh Connerly.
Okay, like that. Josh Connerly, 31. And then that leaves
the Eagles.
The Eagles, they could use help. Actually, God, this would annoy me. They could use help in terms of slot receivers. I don't think Luther Burden's their cup of tea. I think the character stuff with Burden's going to drop him into the second round. Although they're not afraid of a fiery guy. A.J. Brown, certainly that. I just think there's some discipline stuff that I don't know that they're going to be willing to tolerate. But you want an ultimate pro who is going to be really good in the slot but can also play a little bit outside, move around a little bit. Emeka Egbuka, he's interesting for sure. Let me just double check. Who's the top offensive lineman available? It could go Booker. It could go Donovan Jackson. Are there any edges? Who are the edges available? Scorton? No, that's probably not their cup of tea. And then corner. I know they did a bunch at corner last year. I mean, they couldn't. No, I think I'm going to go Egbuka for them, which ironically is who we picked for Washington last time. Just a versatile, smart football player. At a position that they could use a little extra help in to not have quite so much on the plate of the two main guys. So that's our mock draft. Ward, Hunter, Carter, Campbell, Graham, Genty, Membu, Warren, Sanders, Hampton, Zade Barron, Gray Zabel, Will Johnson, Donovan Azaraku, Jalen Walker, Walter Nolan, Michael Williams, Mike Green, Jahad Campbell, Tet McMillan, Malachi Starks, Colson Loveland, Derek Harmon, Nick Amanawori, Kelvin Banks, Mason Taylor, James Pierce Jr., Josh Simmons, Shamar Stewart, Siobhan Ravel, Josh Connerly, Emeka Egbuka. That's it. That's the list. Commanders like wind it up with Shamar Stewart.
I like this draft.
I kind of like it, too. It kind of came together in a very bizarre way. It felt wild during, but you look at it at the end, you're like, I could see that happening. That's the beauty of the draft. None of us know what we're doing, but it doesn't make it any less fun. What did we learn from this exercise? We will discuss next and let you hear from Jeremy Green, as promised, at 6:15 here on the Team 980.